Lo, children, come unto me on this hallowed day, Easter Monday, and I shall save thee from thy sins, save thee from the horrible things out there that want to take you straight to the depths of hell. I am your redemption. It is me, Richard Lewis, on The Richard Lewis Show. 666 people watching, Sam.
It's a sign.
On Easter Monday. Tells you all you need to know. Yes, Richard has risen to bring you a show. And I am fucking exhausted.
Coming back from the dead is hard work. Mm.
Resurrection, not as easy as it sounds, folks. I am absolutely fucking beat. I am working my ass off. Unbelievable stuff at the moment. What about you? I haven't spoke to you in, what, like a fucking week?
Nah, not that long, mate. We just show
it feels like a week.
Wednesday. Somewhere, Wednesday.
Yeah, no,
fucking grinding shows out, mate. G-Fin, long hours, Brisal Reet. Just got back. Took yesterday to just sleep, and now I'm ready for a show.
All right. Good for you. I barely had time to put out the show. So, yeah, good for you. Like any of that.
Good for you.
Yeah, good for you, mate. Fucking well happy. Well happy. I'll tell you a story, because... this is like almost like, you know, with the theme being religious, I guess, to a degree, confessional. I went out. I was having like a real, you know, like stressful time. And like a lot of people in the world, you know, when I'm stressed, I drink, you know. I'd make no bones about it. I use it as a crutch. It's a great fucking crutch for me. It works. When I'm stressed, I go to a bar. I don't need to go out with friends. I don't give a fuck if they say this is antisocial or it makes you an alcoholic or whatever. I will go out by myself and get fucked up by myself and have a perfectly good time. I will sit in the bar just listening to the fucking voices in my head, not interacting with anybody, get fucked up, go home, sleep it off, and I am fine. I can live that way, right? I don't need to fucking socialize while I'm drinking. So anyway, I was doing this. I literally got there. I was waiting outside the bar for it to open. That's how you know. Right?
What time was this?
I don't know.
11 a.m.
You know, I was outside the fucking bar. Like, the guy was like, "You all right, mate?"
I don't think we can serve this guy, mate.
I got the thirst. I just want a fucking drink. So I was in there. And I got in, I was drinking, I was just sat there, you know, occasionally going on my phone, putting it down, looking up, rolling up my eyes. And just thinking about all the fucking things I got to do between now and when I'm dead, you know, like just trying to map it all out. Like, yeah, well, when I'm 45, I'm going to 55. Yeah, and then by 65, it's all going to be all right. And then they'll probably secure death by then anyway, so... you know, when I'm 105, you know, just doing what I do. And some girl at the bar sidles up to me, right? And, you know, she's attractive. She, you know, is just sort of sat there asking what I'm up to, you know, what I'm drinking. We have some small talk, some chit chat. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it.
And I'm married.
No. I'm like, fuck it. You know what? Like, I've told people my views about casual sex, right? I'm at a stage in my life where I just treat it like a medical procedure. I don't really give a fuck about it. You know, like you hit a certain point in life where it's just not that important. And then eventually it's like you get the urge and you're just like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll go do it. And then you do it. Right, so it's like I've said before, it's like draining a cyst or something. You just you get it done, and then you don't need
cysts.
Then you don't need to fucking get it drained again until
it's full. Next time they need draining.
Or if the cyst analogy is too gross for you, it's like being a camel, you know. What a camel does is it goes to the fucking oasis and it
collects its humps. Yeah, as a store.
The hump's all good, and then it can store the water, go long distances in the desert, and then it doesn't need to drink for ages, right? That's
sex. Oh, you sex camel.
Yeah, that's your boy Sex Camel. There you go. So there you go. The classic Sex Camel. People know. So I was just like, blah. All right.
Let's play Super Seducer in real life. Yeah, let's give it a bash.
All right, I'm in. I'm fucking in. You got me. Right? Fuck it. So we're talking, and, you know, people probably don't realize this about me. I'm a charming motherfucker about it.
Don't let this shiny head distract you. Underneath that shine, it's all glory.
Listen, between the cysts and the camels, I'm smooth as fuck. Never let it be said otherwise. So it's going real fucking well, you know, and like we're having a fucking drink and then, you know, we're fucking drinking some more. And then she's like, I want to take you to a place. She takes me to this bar where they do this thing where they have these like big jar of cherries that fucking have been soaked in booze for years. And like you have one and it'll fuck you up. It's like taking that fucking insanity pepper in the episode of The Simpsons. So we do one of them each. It's fine. And, you know, I'm a pretty big drinker, you know, like I can fucking
give
roll
me 40
with it.
Of them cherries.
Yeah. So we fucking, then we go to she says, I want to take you to this other place. So then I go to that place. And then we went for a meal.
She's not a club promoter. She's just getting you in the place.
Yeah, if a limousine had rolled up, we're fucking...
Yeah, it's just $20 to get in. Don't worry about it. Yeah, just come in here. Have some of these cherries. Yeah, we're going to go to a different place.
So we're... So then we're having dinner, or whatever the fuck they call it out here. And then, you know, we're eating food together. And at the same time, talking, conversation's going well. And then she's like, you want to go... Yeah, you come out to this, you know, sort of late night bar. So we go there. And, you know, conversation's still okay. Like, we haven't run out of small talk or any topics or anything. Haven't bumped into anything like politics or religion or anything that's going to be divisive. Managed to avoid all of that.
So far.
And then it gets to the sort of end of the night. And I'm like, you know.
You like Trump.
Pulled out my MAGA hat. Painted my face green.
Right? Street banter.
And she just said, like, oh, so I'm coming back to yours tonight, right? And I went,
shit.
Yeah, and I went, nah, I actually didn't. I thought, it's a scary fucking time to be getting inebriated and then going back and having constant, you know what I mean? Something snapped out the back of my head and said, fucking abort. I took a hard fucking Brexit. And where I'm from, Brexit means Brexit.
He's got the cans of Carlin out. Is that what you said to her? Am I coming back to yours? Brexit means Brexit!
I just thought this is a bad idea. It just fucking suddenly just started to rub me wrong. I got terrified. I just had, you know. So I said, oh, yeah, maybe not, like. and I tried to disengage. And then she started going a bit weird, like really weird. She started getting very hostile and like raising her voice and said, you've been wasting my fucking time. I was like, what? How are we doing that? I thought that time was the time, you know, like this is the fun part, right? But then she starts, really aggressive, dude. Like, whoa, what the fuck? From nowhere, like, waste my fucking time, not going to take me back. Fuck me. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Definitely not, no. Definitely not.
And it was just weird. And I was like, well, you know, I don't know what to say. So,
Uber's just arrived.
Yeah, so I'm ordering Uber while she's doing this. Like, get me the fuck out. Like it was fucking Thunderbirds or something. Like, please, come and get me Thunderbirds too. Like, yeah.
Thunderbirds, go!
Yeah, so I did that, and she's still just going and going. and I did something. I still don't know why I did this. I don't know why I did this. I just panicked. And I just pulled out my wallet and just pulled out $100. I just took your money and I just left. I just got in the U, like, fuck off!
The slave!
I just panicked and paid her. I just panicked and paid her money. Like, I don't know. I just got super afraid, like, from fucking nowhere, dude.
How did you react to that? Did you stay?
I sped off in the car. Like, I was like, drive! She put, like, it up, so...
At least you didn't waste her time. You got paid for those hours. That's $100.
I just fucking couldn't handle it, man. She was just being so hyper-aggressive for, like, what I thought was, like, definitely a smart thing. Like, you know, I'm gonna not do this now because we've been drinking all fucking day and I don't know who you are. So let's play this one, you know, by the numbers. Right?
Let's play this safe. How about we meet when we're sober next weekend?
Well, I just threw money at her and ran and just fled, dude.
Flee.
I just don't know. It was just really weird. It was like, it was just going so well. And I was just really afraid. The prevailing feeling as I got away was sort of like one of relief. Like it was just spiraling into a horrible situation. And I think I managed to circumnavigate it. Like, because she was going to cause a scene. Not a scene. Hate scenes. So, yeah, I just had to get out, man. It was just fucking surreal. So it took me a day or two to process that. That's why there was no, I couldn't exactly sit down and play Super Seducer after that, right? Lots of people are like, why haven't you been streaming Super Seducer? I'm like,
I'm scared.
I'm scared of planet Earth right now. Like, I just, everything's like terrifying. Like, what seems like a normal human interaction can just completely go fucking sideways. And like, everyone's just so angry and fucking crazy these days. People just can't behave like normally. Like, when people don't get what they want, they just immediately have fucking tantrums and go nuts. And if it's not about like just the small things in life, or it's about being offended, or it's like politics, like even the day-to-day fabric of human interaction has been sort of colored with this weird sense of entitlement that like, someone has to.
You're not
compromise.
Gonna fuck me, are you?
Someone has to compromise, or the other person goes fucking berserk. Like, this cannot be how it is right now, but it is. I'm telling you. So yeah, I was just fucking. I just bailed. I just bailed the fuck out of that.
Gareth bailed.
I did. He's had a Gareth.
get me the fucking Gareth.
So obviously at various points in the show, you know how we do these shows. It's like I tell a humorous story, which people either believe or don't believe because, is he doing a comedy thing or is this just his life? Like, he's got a lot of these stories. Is Richie just fucked up? Is his life just weird? Who knows, right? Yeah. Let you all decide. But anyway, I wanted to start the show strong, I think. And you know, one of the things I hate is just attention seeking.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I hate that. Like, ooh, I'm just an extrovert. Look at me. Like, fuck off, mate. I can't do that. Well, I don't. There's a type of extrovert I especially hate, and it's the one thing specialist. Do you know what I mean? The one thing
like
specialist.
Like a really random thing, or just as.
Yeah, no, exactly. They've got one thing.
Yeah.
So it could be like...
It's basically worthless anyway.
I've been collecting beanie babies for 50 years. And I've had my house turned into a giant beanie baby. And I've got... And it's like, oh, God.
Oh, mate, I think I know what you're going to say.
Probably are. It's like... It's not a fucking... Right, it's not a substitute for a personality.
No matter how many beanie babies you've got.
Yeah. You're going to have a million beanie babies. It's not a substitute for fucking personality. People are three-dimensional. They like some things, they hate some other things. They like some things more than other things and hate some things more than other things. They have a wide variety of interests, and they don't let one singular thing... thanks for the donation, by the way, Valence TV. Appreciate that, dog. I did see that. Not that I'm ignoring all the other subs or donators, but that one just caught my eye, so thank you. You know, we have a wide range of things that we dig and we don't dig. But when you're the one thing person, I can't abide it. I just can't. And I saw one today and it just fucking, it just made me mad, dude. It shouldn't. It's harmless.
Does it involve a food item?
Oh, you know it does.
Does he live in our hometown, mate?
Yeah, he does.
Mate, the thing is, right? I've met this cunt multiple times across my childhood, mate.
It's the madness. Why did I not know about it?
Do you know what just blew my mind? I was in a TV show with this cunt when I was a kid. Check out, right? Because I went...
Let's get the cunt up. Let's get him up.
Yeah, okay, let's show her first. About the
cunt. You can't do a pre-cunt story. Just revealed himself.
I dropped the cunt link.
Structure. Alright. So anyway, I'm talking about Captain Beanie. Right?
Mate, do you know that he's from planet Venus? He actually says.
Oh no.
Captain Beanie.
So Captain Beanie is just a guy who is just obsessed with baked beans, and he's turned his house into a baked bean museum. And here's the madness. I lived in Sandfields for a bit.
You probably weren't doing it then, man.
No, but he's lived there since like 1954 or something.
Yeah, but surely he wasn't beaning the entire time.
Oh, but he started beaning in 91. So I was definitely there. And like no one in my peer group or peripheral to the group mentioned I've seen Captain Beanie. No, no.
Fucking no, no, that,
like, he's out of control, mate. He is so out of control. Like, and I just hate this shit. I just fucking hate this shit. So let's talk about it, right? So he's basically obsessed with baked beans, Sam, and he's painted the inside of his house orange. He wears orange clothes almost exclusively. He has the history of baked beans up on the wall. Every item in his house is related to baked beans.
He's got tattoos on his head of beans.
He's got a tattooed head of a plate of baked beans all over his bald scalp.
He did it for charity, though, I think. Because what he did was I can't remember if it was for one child who had an illness or maybe a charity. Basically, he like slept in a bath of baked beans for like a day or two, then got beans tattooed on his head, and that's why he's got all names, I think. I think those are like donators or something.
Yeah.
And he just lived, I don't know, he just embraced the life of the bean, and he just gone all in on the beans. It blows my mind. I see him all the time. Do you know what mental is? Right, so my story about when I was on a TV show with him, right? So this is when I was like 7 or 8. I know, it's so mental. It's come full circle.
Oh, God,
now I'm doing a show about him. It's blowing my mind, mate. How the fuck have I ended up here?
Oh, yeah, right. Captain
Beanie. So me and my mate were walking the shop, but obviously just because we're... you know, Welsh chaps, we saw people filming this guy dressed up as a bean. We just started fucking up the shoot. So they were filming in Spa, and every time they went to film him, we'd pop it back away. Right? And we were trolling him so much, they just said, do you want to be in the fucking show? I was like, yeah, why not? So he was like walking down the street, and he had a little bean cape on, and we were walking in the street filming us.
Fuck off with the phrase bean cape. As if that's normal, man. Fuck off. Like.
Right? And he walks down the street, and all he did, he ran up to us, and he's like, it was the most, I don't even know what he said. He's like, have you seen the evil bean or something like that? It's like, yeah, he's over there. And he just runs. That was it. That was it. And then just like, all right, will you just leave us alone?
Oh, have you seen the evil bean, mate?
Have you seen the evil bean? Yeah, I can't remember what... Mate, that was on actual TV. I can't even remember what it was on.
Mate, it can't have been.
If I... Mate, if someone can find that clip of me in that, that would be outrageous. It might not have even made the cut, to be fair. They might have just did that to troll us to get us the fuck away.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. But man, honestly, like, I just... Everything about this guy is, like, just fucking... Yeah, it's just absurd. Like, have you seen... I think, did he run for fucking local office or something?
Yeah,
like
he ran for MP.
Yeah, here he is. There's a picture of it. Vote for Beanie. This can't be the planet, man. Like,
planet
seriously,
Venus, mate. It's not the same planet. This is planet Venus.
I don't belong here, man. I'm telling you. I'm an alien. I was put here to observe...
No,
I've
seen
it all.
That's an alien there, mate, in the picture. That's an alien. The one holding the beans wearing a bean hat and a bean apron.
Come on, beam me up. I'm fucking ready.
I've seen...
Please stop. Any more fucking bean jokes you want to get out your fucking system? Yeah, any others?
Tell you what, Captain Beanie, he's a Branston lad, isn't he?
Fucking hell.
What a Branston lad.
Yeah, what a boy. But it's just too much, mate. Right.
Time for bean jokes is bean and gone.
Yeah. I can't really just abide people like this. I know it's just so fucking, like, he's not hurting anyone probably. I say probably. But I just fucking hate this.
Nah,
he's like
that's the thing, he is like soup. That's why everyone just is never, no one's really made fun of him, I think, because he does like loads of charity shit, and he's not, yeah, exactly, he's not hurting anyone. Like, if you want to be a bean, mate, you live, you fucking movie. If you want to be a bean, you be a bean.
Mm.
But in hindsight, he probably wouldn't be one.
I mean...
I was breaking down your soul.
Now, the thing is, you know, if you just met him on the street, he'd be like, hey, look at me, do you like beans? Like, fuck off, mate, please. There's too much going on for this, you know. I just couldn't believe it when someone sent... Like, someone sent me the link, like, when he put over...
I know.
Like, please get me out, man. Get me the fuck out. Mm. So there you go. I've had a breakdown and thrown money at someone, and Captain Beanie is on the fucking streets. Like, the planet's fucked, mate. It's over. All right, so there was some serious shit to talk about, probably. But I'm going to ease. I'm going to bring us down. So we're going comedic notches. There's like the state of my life, Captain Beanie. Now we're going to go to another fucking person who's just in terminal decline. DMX.
Oh, yeah.
DMX. Rinse. Well, he did get fucking rinsed. But here's the thing. I don't know if people saw this, but DMX was actually in court, right? He was about to get sentenced because he'd done some tax fraud.
Shot back and talks, like.
Yeah, now in America, they take that shit pretty goddamn.
They don't fuck around. Wesley Snipes went to jail as well, mate. Everyone goes to jail.
Yeah, it's just like, wait, you owe money in taxes? Like, in Britain, it's just like, pay, but if you don't pay, we'll just charge you loads of money. And, you know, it's fine, but, like, you will have to pay it all eventually, probably. As long as you don't engage in any deception, not paying bill isn't... You're never going to go to jail for that. Not in America, of course. Owing taxes and not paying them?
Mate, know about that as well. Mm. You've seen the people who say, like, it's written in the Constitution that you don't have to pay taxes. And people just do that. Like, there's a group of people in America who refuse to pay taxes. Like, it cannot be true.
Sovereign citizens or whatever the fuck they're called. So what are you talking about?
No, I don't think... Like, I've read, people have said that it's literally written in the Constitution that you don't have to pay tax. But I don't think that's true. Because people go to prison. Like, surely a lawyer would have read that part by now.
I've heard all the urban myths about, you know, people who've, like, took it to fucking Supreme Court. Like, the cases... And just got away because a judge says, yeah, there's actually nothing that can legally compel you to pay tax if you invoke this certain thing. I've heard these urban myths. It's nonsense, of course. If you don't pay your taxes, you're going to get in trouble. So there. But so yeah, he owed $1.7 million in taxes that he had avoided paying because he just hadn't filed. He'd appointed like an accountant or somebody to do it for him, and they just didn't do it.
Oh, probably. Fuck, and he still has to go to jail?
Well, yeah, because it's your responsibility.
Yeah, but come on, they got to be case by case, bro.
Well, by the way, actually, someone did just link me to what you're talking about, the constitutional arguments against taxes. It even has its own Wikipedia page if you want to have a look at that. But yeah, I mean, like, no, if you appoint somebody, it's your responsibility. So, like, you know, accountants are laughing all the way to the fucking bank no matter what happens. Yeah, completely fucked up my client. Yeah, you know, I it's still on him. It's still on them. So the prosecutors were looking to send him to prison for 5 years.
Jesus. Is that the state or is that the government who prosecutes you on a tax fraud thing? It must be the government, right?
It's federal, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So five years, which is obviously 1 year for each year he didn't file. So, you know, it was here it is, right? I've got the news story.
Well, he didn't file a tax return for 5 years.
Yeah, just didn't do it for five.
What? Oh, because his accountant just said, yeah, I'm doing it, mate.
Well, that's what DMX said, but he also said, I'm responsible even if I placed other people in charge of it. That's the quote. So the prosecutors were seeking that, and the judge was away thinking about sentencing. And so his legal team came up with a fucking idea. And when I saw this, mate, I was like, nah, please don't do this. The legal team were going to play DMX's song.
Attention!
I know, which we must not sing along to. The DMX's songs at the sentencing to help the judge emotionally connect with DMX. And I was thinking, wait, what song?
I know, there better be some careful selections of this mixtape.
Because I was like singing all of the ones I could remember in my head. Went, hood, don't play that one.
Demo. Gonna give it to you. No, can't do that one.
I knew that one. I got blood on my dick. No, not that one. Oh, they'll bring your whole crew is straight fire. And I was like, there's just... But anyway, there's a song called Slippin'.
Right.
Have you heard it?
I don't think I have.
Right, well, it's emotional, right? Now, we can't play it because it'll get cut out. But it's the one where he says, hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. And then he says that a lot. And then get me back on my feet so I can tear shit up.
Tear that tax return up, boy.
Right. And in it, he talks about how he wants to live long enough to see his kids. I think DMX has a lot of kids.
Right.
If I remember rightly. Let me see. I thought in my mind, I thought it was 12. 12? No, it's 15. It's 15.
Fucking hell.
DMX put it about. X is going to give it to you.
X going to sling it to you. Fucking hell.
By that, he means I'm going to give you a kid. X going to give you a pregnancy, apparently. But good thing he's a fertile dude.
Fucking
no doubt.
Hell, yeah. Should be selling to sperm banks.
I was going to make a joke about Lloyd Banks there, but it just... But now I'm not. Now I'm not going to do that. So look, he talks about how he had problems with his parents and, you know, going to jail and how he's trying to be a better person and blah, blah, blah. That's the theme of the song. So they sent the judge the lyrics and then they played the song at the sentencing.
What? How is this allowed in a court? Surely the judge goes, order, why am I listening to rap? What's happened here?
Order. Yeah, I find you in contempt for playing Slipping. But here's the thing, I'm telling you, it fucking worked, mate, right? Because what? He didn't get 5 years. The judge listened to Slipping, you know, and how DMX wants to get back on his feet so he can tear shit up. I think they only gave him a year in the end.
I know, but thing is, a year in the pen probably do good for him. When he comes out, he can have some new songs about, you know, being in the fucking jail.
So we get he's only going to do a year. So there was pictures of him on the court steps wearing a Def Leppard t-shirt, which I like. I was the band with the one-armed drummer, if you remember. Yeah. But like, I'll just read you what it says here. an attorney for DMX used an unusual court tactic on Wednesday before his client got sentenced for tax evasion. He played the rapper's hit song Slippin' in the hopes of convincing the judge to be lenient. I've been through mad different phases like mazes to find my way, and now I know that happy days are not far away. DMX, whose real name is Earl Simmons, raps in the 1998 autobiographical song, which reverberated before a packed courtroom in Federal District Court, Manhattan. Attorney Murray Richmond said he played the music video in an effort to illustrate how far Simmons has come since his horrific childhood, which involved physical and emotional abuse, and how promising the future looks for him, despite a guilty plea last November to one count of tax fraud. Anyway, blah, blah, he owed some money. The attorney continued, his life experiences were horrible. I've heard terrible tales, but I've never heard such horrible of such a horrible upbringing as this. Richmond, who has represented DMX in various cases for over 20 years, said, we thought the video would really demonstrate to the court. So we even got the music video as well, which is like really good. Just what he had to go through to get to where he was. I grant you, he has been arrested over 30 times in his life. But in the last 5 years, he has never been arrested, and he's trying to put his life back together. Evaded all that tax, though. but let's just listen to Slippin'. Now, here's one thing I'll say. You know how in court they do those sketch artists?
Yeah.
Mate, I can't. As if. Has he done this? Wait, who's this guy? Fucking cop. Have a word. That, mate. Look at his eyes.
This thing's just gone 12 rounds with Mike Tyson, mate. Look how swollen this mind is.
Not his eyes, though. They're so close together, mate. No one's... Come on.
He looks like a bird.
Ridiculous. Come on, man. Like, has no one had a word with that artist and said, like, the sketches at least have to be vaguely plausible. Like, fucking, it's ridiculous.
Are those two squiggly lines on his arms supposed to be his tattoos as well, or are they just in the drawing? Have you got tattoos? I don't even know.
Oh, yeah, he's got tattoos. Hmm. So anyway, in the end, Slippin' made it so instead of 5, he got 1 year. And I think there's even an option he can be out early for good behaviour.
Ideal,
because I'm sure he'll behave well. Big fan of DMX. Hopefully he can stay.
Surely, you know, it ain't bad going to prison if you're a celebrity. They can't put you in a regular place with everyone else, can they? Because they've got to look after you. I'm pretty sure DMX ain't sharing a bunk, mate. There's no way.
I don't know. I don't think... yeah, I don't think it works like that in American prisons. I think you're just sort of in, unless you're a mob boss or something. I think you're pretty much having a bad time. I think you're just in with everyone else, another bare bum in the shower, so to speak. But anyway, let's not talk about prison. Let's talk about, hang on, let's just dial it down. I'm looking at the comedy scale. So we've had DMX. All right, I should have probably followed up Captain Beanie with this one, also from Wales. Just unreasonable behavior, Sam. Now, you know how I feel about unreasonable behavior, right?
It's unreasonable.
Yeah, it's unreasonable. I don't like it. I don't like people who are unreasonable, and for me, unreasonable means that
flipping out when you want to have sex though.
Perhaps. Or you know, just escalating something to such a ridiculous degree that it just makes no sense. Like, how could anyone get that angry over that thing, right?
Yeah.
And it's just, you're being unreasonable. Right? Which is another one of our catchphrases from the show. Go, it didn't happen. The other one that we can't say anymore.
Why can't we say it didn't happen?
No, we can say it didn't happen. Oh,
right.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
The other brain power.
Well, serious lack of brain power on this kid.
Well, anyway, so unreasonable, right? So unreasonable. I got sent this story, and I was reading it, and I was like, come on. For fuck's sake. It was just one of those, like, what is wrong with y'all? So, this is from the Daily Post. Now, I will say this. They're a bit different in North Wales, aren't they? They're a bit different in North Wales to the South Walians. They are a bit of a different breed, right? So, this is the story about a guy called Paul Ellis James, who basically had an argument with his wife. Now, we all argue with our partners and significant others and our friends and our family. Arguments happen. And this argument was over he wanted to watch a TV show, Dad's Army specifically. Which
it's
I don't know why.
95 or something, the story.
No, that's the madness. I triple checked the date on
Imagine
this
how
one.
Many times he's watched Dad's Army by now if he's willing to go to fucking this level.
I triple checked this one. Triple checked it.
27th of March.
Yep. Literally just happened. So why are you watching Dad's Army in 2018? I don't know. I don't know if anybody, probably nobody who's watching a Twitch stream has ever watched Dad's Army. Right. It's loosely based on fact about like how the people who during World War II were that sort of did the home front, as it was called, you know, they were defending their potential invasion, were just a lot of sort of old men and, you know, doddery type people who couldn't go away and fight in the army. And it's got that song, "Who do you think you are, kidding, Mr. Hitler? If you think we're on the run." That one, right? You remember it?
Yeah. Just when you sing it, it reminds me of fucking Jonathan Pye going, "Springtime
for Hitler." Yeah. So anyway, it's just not fucking funny. Like, I'm sorry, I've tried. My parents, he said, "Oh, you should watch this. You might learn something." Well, I won't learn about comedy watching it. I'll tell you that for free. I just never thought it was. I don't know. I just never really warmed to catchphrase comedy.
Yeah.
You know, like every time Mr. Mannering would go, "Stupid boy." Like, you know, my parents would be like, "Oh, he said stupid boy.
The words today."
That I was expecting, the boy is stupid. He called him a stupid boy. And I'm just like, fucking hell. Like, I'm fucking 10. And this is shit.
Yeah, the equivalent of that nowadays is Mrs. Brown's Boys. You know that guy who plays that? Literally unwatchable, but no, my family just think it's bad. And I can't watch more than 40 seconds of it. It reminds me of the show from Extras that Ricky Gervais does, where he just hates his life. That's just why I imagine that guy.
Mm. So anyway. He wanted to watch Dad's Army. Obviously a big fan of it. Probably seen all the episodes a million times before because it literally just gets repeated endlessly. You see. Well, where did all that money go that you take from us, BBC? Aren't you making new TV programs? Now, we're paying Graham Norton $20 million a day. And we're showing endless repeats of Dad's Army and Only Fools and Horses. And that's that. Deal with it. But anyway, this guy wanted to watch Dad's Army so much that when his wife said, I don't want you to watch Dad's Army right now. I'd rather watch something else. He got a bit unreasonable and he just pulled out a shotgun and said he was going to kill her unless she let him watch Dad's Army.
Bit egregious, don't you think?
He's probably gone a bit overboard there, honestly. Pointed the gun at her and said, "I'm going to shoot you, I'm going to kill you." You know? And here we go, mate. The classic. He's been pulled in and arrested while pissed out of his mind. Look at his mugshot, bud.
He's fully...
Yeah, he's fucked up, mate. He's fucked up. But yeah, so yeah, just wanted to just throw that in. Just unreasonable behaviour. Dad's Army, not a show worth killing to watch. Definitely not. So yeah, unacceptable. Right, so what else have we got? I suppose we can talk a little bit about this. American politics. It's getting more and more unreasonable, I think. You're going to be, oh, Richard, oh, no, not the... It's not the Trumps versus the Libs, is it? And you're going to try and walk that careful line in the middle so you get to say you're a centrist when we all know you are really, insert whichever one you want me to be, into the sentence. Oh, God, I hate those bits. I really hate those bits. I really hate it when you just talk about American politics and you're funny one minute and you sermonize the next. And you really over... cautiously state everything because you're terrified of being labeled something you aren't. I hate those bits. I hate those bits. All right, well, it's not one of those bits. That comes later. Here's the bit. Why are America's elected officials old men? Because for some reason in America, it's just like you've just got to be old. It's like being a pope. Yeah. You know? Like, how old is he? 70? Get him in. Be dead soon though, won't he? Get him in.
Ideal.
Ideal. Just the way we like it. Because we're the people who really control everything. We're the people with all the money. We, you know, so we've just got five hearts. We're just hooked up to machines, so we just never die and keep all the wealth. That's what the 1% really is all about. Just living forever. But I saw this and I was just like, this can't be real. But it was real. So Joe Biden, I don't know if you know Joe Biden, Sam.
Yeah, have you heard of him, mate?
I have heard of him, have you? Well, he was doing some interviews and talking about himself, and he decided, obviously, to do what everyone else does, and he brought up Donald Trump. And he wanted to sort of show that Joe Biden, you know, himself, he wanted to show that he was really... about supporting women, right? And that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. But he decided to do it in a way where he started talking about how he would beat anyone up who was mean to women. Yeah, it was really cringe, all right? It was just really fucking cringeworthy. So here it is, right? So Joe Biden's doing this talk. I'll read you the quotes that he says. Because, right, we all remember the Trump video that came up during the height of the election where Trump said, you know, oh, you can do whatever when you're celebrity. Grandbaby, pussy, baby. It's been a fucking, you know, mess.
This is the first
And that got dismissed as locker room talk, right, quite famously, by people who wanted to defend that stance. For whatever reason. I don't know why you would. I don't know why, just because a candidate from the party you prefer says something like that, you would go, well, we all talk like that in private. It's fine. It's like, eh. When you talk like that in private, which, by the way, not everyone does talk like that in private, but when you talk like that in private, you're not in line to become the most powerful person in the world, are you? So it's a bit different, right? A bit up and down, but whatever. So, he said this. When a guy who ended up becoming our national leader said, I can grab a woman anywhere and she likes it, which he didn't say, and then said, I made a mistake, they asked me, would I like to debate this gentleman? And I said, no. I said, if we were in high school, it's not high school though, is it? It's politics. The adult realm. No. If I were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and I'd beat the hell out of him.
Reasonable.
Right? And then he said, I've been in a lot of locker rooms my whole life. I'm a pretty damn good athlete. Oh, you're such a Chad.
Fuck yeah, yeah, what is this? This is worse than the shit Trump says. Like, I'm actually really smart. I'm actually incredibly insane and smart.
It's so fucking cringeworthy that this is like the level of discourse that people are having. And this is American politics. These are like, you know, powerful men. And this is what they're talking about. If I were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him. I've been in a lot of locker rooms my whole life. I'm a pretty damn good athlete. Any guy that talked that way was usually the fattest, ugliest son of a bitch in the room. So, okay. Right. So, he basically challenged Trump to a fight.
Man, let's get it on pay-per-view. Come on. Imagine how much it'd sell.
Be careful what you wish for, Sam. Right.
Give it to me. I'll pay $50 now.
So, all right. So, now, Donald Trump, right? Donald Trump could, I mean, you can just ignore this, right? You can just ignore this, can't you? You can definitely just ignore this. It's just a man just saying something to basically sort of appeal to the base that he's speaking to. It is, in essence, politics. The fact that it is such juvenile rhetoric is embarrassing and says something about the American political landscape in its current form. But you're the president now, and you just let this one slide, can't you?
Remember when politicians advocating for violence was a bad thing, by the way?
Sure. But again, you can just ignore this. I think, obviously, if you're the president, you just let this one go, right? Like, it's just not a big deal. It's just a guy. Yeah, well, I was a great athlete, and he was disgusting, and I would protect all the women, right? It's just like, just let him.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, just let him do that, right? Whatever you do, don't sink down to their level. But. Not when you're present. But this is Donald Trump.
Not when you're the ruler of the fucking one of the largest countries on earth.
But unfortunately, this is Donald Trump, right? So no fucking restraint, no fucking common sense. He's just going to say, like, that Twitter account is the fucking bane of this presidency. Really, I honestly think. Like, if he tweet all the dumb shit he tweets, like, you would get like a 10-point bump in approval ratings, like, just overnight. I do not know why it's there. I do not even understand the purpose. It's of, I get to circumnavigate the news cycle. The news cycle is only about the shit you tweet. Don't tweet anything, and you'll have to talk about, you know, maybe policies. Wouldn't that be nice? Law changes? But no. So... how do you think Donald Trump reacted?
I knew how he reacted before you even clicked on the link. It's obvious, isn't it? You know what he's going to say.
He said, Crazy Joe Biden.
Why is this just mad WWE heel smack talk?
It's mad, isn't it? It's so fucking mental that this is the world. Like, have you ever read Transmetropolitan?
No.
It's like a comic book. You should read this, right? It so accurately predicted where we're at right now. It is frightening.
1984, we're far off, even, man.
Yeah, but this is a sort of breakdown of American pop culture and politics. I think Transmetropolitan is scarily prescient. So I would urge anybody to go check that out. But anyway, you know, Joe Biden, if I remember rightly, I think he had, did he have cancer at some point?
Yeah, something? I think so.
I can't remember. But anyway, I know he was ill with something at some point. So, whatever. Crazy Joe Biden is trying to act like a tough guy. Actually, he is weak. Both mentally and physically. And yet he threatens me for the second time with physical assault. He doesn't know me, but he would go down fast and hard, crying all the way.
This is so mental, mate. He's the president of America. The people understand that. Look at that tweet and then realize that is the president of America, mate. That is nutty. He's literally asking for a square go on Twitter, mate. He's asking for a square go.
Can't do it anymore. Like, look, listen. I will just qualify it by saying if Hillary had won, we'd already be in war with Russia. So, you know, you got to take the rough with a fucking smooth, I guess. But come the fuck on, mate. So, yeah, he would go down fast and hard, crying all the way. Don't threaten people, Joe. So, all right. So, and it's a bit weird because a lot of people are talking about how Biden could potentially be facing off like in the presidential election, which is, again, also insane.
Want to fight these for people, yeah. Fighting for the presidency or what?
These people are, well, I mean, just to, obviously you can never take these things too serious, but here's a report from CBS Sports. Bookmakers,
yeah.
Yeah, bookmakers actually gave odds on the fight.
Ideal. What were the odds?
Donald Trump's a slight favorite. I would give Donald Trump the edge. I think
he's larger.
Yeah, I would definitely go. Right, that's where I put my money. You know, I know fighters.
And he did like a lot of boxing promotion. Remember, they used to host loads of boxing at the Trump Plaza. So he's probably been around a bag. He's seen some. You know, what I mean, he knows people. He could get good training.
Yeah, I'm down. So yeah, the odds makers gave Donald Trump the slight edge.
And he was on WWE, mate. Trump's in WWE Hall of Fame, I think.
Yeah, you remember that? You remember that? So I'm just saying, you know, maybe we just do away with democracy
and just trial by combat it.
Yeah, trial by combat, mate. Just do it.
At least then Putin will win again. Just win again when Putin coming riding in on a bear. Have you seen our Photoshop of him there? With his top
afraid,
off.
Yeah, I'm afraid they have. I'm afraid.
It's ideal.
This is the planet we live on. Potential presidential candidates and the President of the United States threatening to punch each other's lights out over, you know, protecting women's honor and stuff. It's bonkers, mate. It's you think to yourself, today is the last day of insanity. It has to be the last day. It's got to be the last day that the world is mad, and we'll wake up to, and everyone's gonna, it's like gonna be snapping out or like just a bout of mass psychosis, and we're all gonna go, fucking hell, we were all mental, weren't we? What was that about? What happened there? And we're going to start coming back to the light and back to the common sense. Yeah, but no,
this bubble's never popping, mate.
Never. Our option was to let go of the fucking balloon and fall to our deaths. That was the option. That was what we had to do. There was a point. We were floating towards insanity and we thought, nah, the balloon will just gently deflate and we'll float back down to the ground. And common sense, and we didn't. Now, it's just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse. We got to let go. It's too far gone. People even know that this is mass psychosis now. People know it is. It's just you can't admit it. When you're this deep into the lie that this is all normal, you've got to just keep riding it out, you fucking please. The left and the right, it's just horseshoe theory. It's just so fucked up. They're just crazy. Everything's just crazy now. You know, on the one hand, it's like, did you support Donald Trump? Yeah, I thought he had a slight edge. You're a Nazi! All right, fuck you guys. You guys are crazy. Hey, what's going on over on your side? Well, you don't want to know. You don't want to know about that. All right, okay, so some of that shit was true then. You are pretty fucked up. All right, I'm just going to stay over here. Just leave me the fuck alone. All right, can you all just leave me the fuck alone? I hate the way that to try... Right, like the right is always trying to hold up a mirror to the absurdity of the left, which is something I enjoy doing, right? Like I think the left is absurd, and the far left, that is, and I like holding up a mirror and going, look how stupid this shit is. But what the right always do is they engage in the same tactics the far left do while thinking they also have the carte blanche to hold up the mirror to the absurdity. I've seen this so many times. Like, I'm going to segue into a story now where I'm going to be talking about boycotts, right? And I've seen people come out and say, you should boycott this and you should boycott that on the right. And then recently we had a bunch of, you know, leftists saying you should boycott these companies. And the right were put on, oh, the left, they always go straight for the money. They always go straight for the boycotts. You both do that, you crazy fuckers. You're going to bankrupt everyone and every fucking thing. And you're going to keep swinging until everyone's dead. Like, this fight is so fucking stupid right now. It's gone beyond the point of any reasonable discourse and sanity, and you're never going to stop. Defeat, if you stop, you don't lose, right? You ever seen that film War Games?
No.
It's like about some fucking supercomputer that takes over and decides to like nuke the fucking human race or something. I can't remember. I watched it years ago. Yeah, of course he does. And they get a genius kid hacker, I think, who teaches the supercomputer through tic-tac-toe, right, where you can have a draw every time, you know, if you optimally place everything. Yeah. The only way to truly win is not to play. And there he becomes convinced not to play war games. I feel like we should have learned that lesson by now. Like, for real, most people just want to be left the fuck alone and just make the choices that make sense to them and their value system without being absolutely castigated and attacked on both sides. You know, transgender people, because we just had the Trans Day of Visibility, they don't want to be fucking told they're mentally ill for wanting to live the life they want to live. They don't want that every day. And I don't get why it's such a big hot button topic for the right that they have to endlessly talk about it. By the same token, Trump supporters, Republicans, they don't want to be told that they're a fucking neo-Nazi. They don't want to be told they're as bad as the people that fucking put people in concentration camps because they believe in certain... I just don't understand why it's like, can we all just like maybe leave each other the fuck alone if we can't find any... I think it's sad we can't find common ground. But if we ultimately can't, you know, when two kids endlessly squabble and... they will never get along in school, and it's an apt comparison to compare them to fucking children. You just put them at opposite ends, and they just don't interact ever again. And do you know what I mean? And it's everything. Like, it's not just, oh, you're picking out all these extreme examples. It's just everything. You have to be so dogmatic in what you take on board these days. Like, it's just, it's like everybody for their own political belief system has to unequivocally accept all of these rules. It's like a terms of service. If you want to be on the fucking left, you must believe all of this shit. And people are like going, well, that makes sense. Yeah, and I support that, and I support that. Wait a minute, what, censorship? Words of violence? You know, I don't know about that, actually. I don't know how I feel about that. Burning books? Bit weird, isn't it? And they go, well, if you don't believe it, you're part of the problem. You're part of the problem. You're obviously one of them. You're alt-right. You're a Nazi. Yeah. Right. I'm going to go check out what the right's got to say. Is that okay? And you get over there and it's like, so you believe in, you know, free speech and individual liberty and no big government interference. I can totally get on board with all. Wait, what's this stuff at the bottom about, I got to pay for like what I think should be fundamental human rights? You're anti-abortion? You don't want trans people to have equal... I can't sign off on any of that. I'm sorry. Oh, so you're a filthy communist. You want to bring communism to America, do you? And have us all in the streets like in Venezuela? Whoa, dog. Like, I didn't say that neither. Like, so what do I do? What do I do as a person that wants to just pick and mix how I feel about a topic as the topic speaks to me? What do I do? What do any of us do? We don't get to do it. You're not allowed to do it. They tell you, if you try and stay in the middle, they go, ah, but by not picking a side, you're as good as the enemy. You're on by virtue of not being on my side, you're on the wrong side. Fucking come on. Can we grow the fuck up? It's just boring. And I think I speak for everyone. Like, I would never presume to do that. But everybody I've met feels the same way. I've sat down with Trump supporters and they talk about the divides in their fucking family. And how, yeah, I haven't spoke to my brother or sister since the election, or my parents kicked me out. You know, and I've sat down with like leftists who are like, I just can't believe my family would fucking vote for Trump. I fucking hate them. It's like, yo.
Calm down.
Why is this life and death? It's just going to be a weird 4 years. Just ride it the fuck out. Do you think, you know, I keep saying it like, Bill Clinton bombed the country to try and distract the world from the fact he got a fucking blowjob. He killed people. Bush, don't get me fucking started. Reagan. They're all fucked up in a way, if you look at it. Obama just droning people to death with a fucking remote control. We all got to just come back to the fucking light. Just fucking relax. Take some deep breaths. No one is going to go to the camps. All right? There's no camps. It's okay. No one's going to kill you. You know, we're not in a fight for our lives here. It's just political differences. Some of them are stupid. Some of them are important. And they can be fought here by having discussion and and trying to find that commonality, those connects. You don't do it this way, by labeling one side as the worst thing you can ever think they are, the opposite side to you. It doesn't work. So with all of that said, while our elected officials are out there, you know, straight threatening to beat each other up, because
that's Twitter beef.
Yeah, that's, you know. Mate, I can't wait for fucking the diss tracks to start coming. It's red time.
Do you know what's some mental shit, though, right? Do you know what, like, sometimes blows my mind? Do you know what, after Trump had Twitter beef with King Jong-un and said they were going to nuke each other, North Korea and South Korea have just had peace talks, but it's better than it's ever been. Like, why is the guy from Apprentice just sort of solving the world on accident, mate? What is happening?
No, but it's like, I like to think that the reason the North and South fucking... they literally just went, fucking...
That's what I mean, but it's like on accident. He's just...
And they've just gone, it doesn't matter how fucked up you are. This guy's just out of his gourd. Like, let's have a beer. Fuck this. And that's what I mean, though.
It's working.
No, but again, that should be the exemplar for America, right? The division between North and South Korea is fucking so... The history there is so deep. It's no wonder it's vitriolic. People in Seoul living in constant fear of fucking nuclear strikes. The people in North Korea living under the fucking tyrannical rule of a fucking dictator. And the families that got divided in the North and South. And you can't leave North Korea to go and see them unless you get special passes from the government. It's fucking heartbreaking. And yet here we are. And they're able to have these peace talks. We don't know how they're going to go. But it can't be a bad thing. And yet here in America, I can't even get a fucking Trump supporter and a Clinton supporter to sit down and have a beer. It's mental. So, right. Just with that in mind, by the way, I tweeted this out and a lot of people went fucking pretty wild with me. As is part of the course now. I think I exceeded 6,000 people blocked on Twitter. Right? I have more people blocked.
That's pretty impressive.
Okay. Let's have followers, mate. And Roseanne, the show Roseanne came back. And I don't know if you ever watched Roseanne. For me, when I was growing up in the UK, Roseanne was the TV that came on. There was an order of things. So you got back from school, like, I don't know, R4 for me. Get back R4. There'd be some like kids shit on. You'd catch something like, I don't know, like a Thundercats or something. It would segue into News Round with John Craven. And then it would be Neighbours. Oh, no, sorry, my bad. Home and Away, 10 minutes past 5. Neighbours, 5:35. And then at 6 p.m., Channel 4 would start showing good shit, right? And one of the things that I used to love watching when I was a teen was Roseanne. And I'll tell you why, because it's not really a show you would think a teenage boy from the UK would want to watch. But there was, and then at 6:30, I think you go back to BBC Two and you get Fresh Prince. That's
ideal.
A wicked. That's a wicked 2 hours of television, mate.
Right? Huge, dude.
So anyway, and the Fresh Prince actually spoke to me quite a lot as well. Yeah. Wicked
was baller.
Yeah, but the reason Roseanne did was that I felt it portrayed like just working class families in a way that like nothing on British television did at the time. In fact, like the working class was just awfully underrepresented on British television.
I don't think
television.
It was the royal family. I like that. A lot of my family watched that.
Hey, I was just going to say that was the first thing. I hated it. I hated it because it was like, for me, that peddled, like, actually, again, if I'd been one of these terminally offended people, I'd be banging on about that now. Like, it's misrepresenting me.
Nah,
we're not,
that's why we liked it. Because it was someone you could laugh at.
We don't laugh at farts. We're smarter than that. You know, like, so if I wanted to be like that, the perpetually offended, I never really liked that show.
But
I didn't complain about it. I do laugh at farts, actually.
There you go. See?
There's this YouTube video just called Fart Wake Ups. It's hilarious. That is 3 minutes of just people farting in people's faces. It buckles me every time. I'm a juvenile. But I took a stance on that because I didn't like it because I thought it was like rich, posh people from London trying to pretend that they were like poor.
No, but I saw it as like, it was so outrageous that even the working class could laugh at it because it's like they're worse than us. You know what I mean?
Ricky Tomlinson's legit. He was a fucking trade union worker, you know, like he was out there marching for dockers and everything. So anyway, point is that basically on television when I was growing up, there was an erasure of the working class, right? You just didn't really see them. The only other thing I really think of was Boys from the Black Stuff, which my mother made me watch. Like coming from a mining town, you had to watch anything by Alan Bleasdale. And what Thatcher had done to Britain. So like it was like that. And that was really heavy. Boys from the Black Stuff it's got some dark storylines. It's got, one of the storylines is about, you know, kids being taken into care because their parents are too poor to look after them and feed them. And that was a real terror for me growing up. I grew up on a really poor estate. I saw kids took away. And that was also a threat. Whenever you were misbehaving too bad, I'll put you in care. And it was like, fucking hell, not a care home. Anything but the care home. You know, you would snap your behavior right back. But I saw children took away, like awful, emaciated, malnourished kids that clearly weren't being fed.
What parents say I'm going to put you in care? Bit aggro.
I did, all the time.
Fucking hell.
So she was a single mother, you know, so I think I think it was difficult to cope with a precocious young boy. So, you know, you have to use the tools at your disposal, and my mother used emotional abuse.
Fucking hell. Most of them use, you know, religion. It's usually, you know, Catholicism. If you don't do it, Jesus will kill you. Like, at least that one isn't as bad.
So
the care home, you could go and look at the care home. It definitely exists.
So yeah, just good old fashioned emotional abuse. It definitely, there's no denying its efficacy, right? It works when you're terrified. Like, so anyway, you know, I saw some pretty rough shit, you know, like, and so Boys with the Black Stuff was something I saw, and it was a very accurate depiction of kind of like what I grew up in and what the things I saw when I was growing up. But the only other time I ever saw it in television was Roseanne. which is crazy because this was a mainstream comedy. And let's be clear here. Let's talk about some of the points. You know, they were poor. I mean, like, really, they you know, none of their electrical appliances worked. The furniture was all patched up. That's what I remember from my house. You know, barely any electrical appliances. I remember when we got our first television. Like, fucking hell, we're going up in the world. The guy has a blue collar job. He's overworked. He's stressed out. A borderline bad health case. You know, who takes solace in alcohol. And the love of a woman who he also has a real lot of conflict with. Because she's a strong personality too. Now, obviously, my dad was away inside. But, you know, my uncles and aunties were like that. They fought like fucking cats and dogs. But, you know, there was no, like, weak women in the fucking working class environment I grew up in. Because you had to hold your own. Plus, you never knew when the guy was going to go away and do a bit. You know, or get fucking killed, worst case scenario. Or just keel over and die because he's been working in the pits for 20 years. So the women were all fucking pretty strong and independent as a result of that. Roseanne was a reflection of that. And then the kid, DJ, had behavioral problems. I grew up in the era where, you know, people, it was the first sort of generation to start getting diagnosed with stuff and given pills to make the kids behave. Like, in my class, everyone either had asthma or fucking ADHD. But I can't remember what it was called by them. It's just hyperactivity, right? And they just started popping the pills down their neck. Yeah, take these. Ritalin or whatever the fuck. So, there was parallels there. The oldest girl was sexually active. At a, you know, but it obviously implied that she was a teen out there making these bad sexual decisions. Didn't shy away from that topic. You know, many an episode would end with Dan finding out that, you know, Becky was fucking, you know, sneaking out to have sex. And he'd go out and he'd be looking to go clock the guy that was doing it. I could identify with all of this. Roseanne was like, for me, why is this American TV show speaking to me and my experiences growing up more than anything else? So it went off air eventually, and it had a terrible last season. Loads of crazy shit started happening. They like won the lottery and they got rich. And, you know, I know they did that in Only Fools and Horses, but they didn't end it there. It was like it kind of started with them winning the lottery, and then you got to see them spend the money and have a bunch of wacky adventures. And then the last episode was, oh, it was all a fantasy. My husband died. Like Dan, you know, fucking John Goodman was dead all along in the last season. And Roseanne was writing books to sort of keep herself, you know, from going fucking cuckoo.
Yeah.
So a terrible last season. It's like the end of Quantum Leap. Not acceptable. So it was off air for all this time and it came back. And it broke records. And just to give you, you know, what they've done, they've kept it current, right? Because I think Rosen Barr, by the way, is a fucking comedic icon. I absolutely do. She is fucking funny when she does stand-up. She literally doesn't give a fuck. I have never seen, like, even now, at the time we live, she's out there, like, just saying, like, whatever the fuck she wants, whenever the fuck she wants. She went on an interview with Jimmy Kimmel to promote the fucking show and basically sat Jimmy down and was like, going, yeah, the left's just gone nuts. Like, you're all fucking insane. Can you all just relax? You know, like, she was there to promote a TV show. And in the TV show, you know, she's a Trump supporter. And she hasn't talked to her sister, Jackie, because of it, which is definitely something that's happening in families across the world. There was a scene, which you can go, you know, you can find out, they used to promote the show, where they can't afford healthcare, so Dan and Roseanne are literally trading their drugs to each other. I'll give you 5 anti-inflammatories for some of this, you know? And this is the absurd situation millions of Americans find themselves in because the healthcare system out here is fundamentally broken. And that's left or right. No one really has the fucking solution. Americans have been sort of almost brainwashed in a way to believing that healthcare isn't a fundamental right. You know, they see it as a commodity like everything else, which is crazy to me as a European. But anyway, so It came out, and I think it was in the end, it was announced that 18 million people had tuned in. It was like a record high since 2014 for a network TV show. And it turns out it was more than that. It was 22 million.
Fucking hell.
22 million people.
Finally, something.
Yeah. No, but it's like, I think the point is that this is, it's tapped into something that's going on in America, right? And yeah. Then people, and it shows both sides of the argument. There's nothing like mean-spirited about Roseanne. They've got a black member in the family now. They're trying to show that, you know, whatever the political persuasion, you're still family. And there were people out there who voted for Trump that weren't evil, despite what the media want to tell you. And I think that's really important right now. But I don't know. I saw this article in the New York Times, and it just made me fucking despair. It was just an opinion piece, and it was by Roxane Gay. And she said that the Roseanne reboot is funny, but I'm not going to keep watching. And the premise of the op-ed is pretty much that it's a brilliant show, and it's got lots of, and the show has lots of good qualities. But because she doesn't like Roseanne Barr being a Trump supporter in real life, she absolutely cannot watch the TV show. And she even went so far as to say, right. In the show, during an exchange about their political disagreement, Roseanne tells Jackie, they're the two sisters, one of the reasons she voted for Trump is because he talked about jobs. And that was all the political ideology we got. If we are to believe the circumstances of this character's life, a few vague words about jobs were more than enough to compel Roseanne, with an adequate health care, with vulnerable grandchildren, struggling to make ends meet, to vote for Mr. Trump. How do you reach people who make dangerous political choices grounded in self-interest? Every political decision is grounded in self-interest. But then she also says that Roseanne Barr is dangerous. My first reaction was that the show was excellent, but I could not set aside what I know of Roseanne Barr and how toxic and dangerous her current persona is. I could not overlook how the Connor family came together to support Mark, because he was bullied at school for his gender presentation, because there's a transgender kid in it now, after voting for a president who actively works against the transgender community. They voted for a president who doesn't think the black life of their granddaughter matters. They act as if love can protect the most vulnerable members of their family from the repercussions of their choices. It cannot. And I thought, you've missed the fucking point, you moron, haven't you? Like, first of all, always make the distinction between art. Like, it's always hard because it's called Roseanne. She's Roseanne. But trust me, it's the show and her are separate, right? And it's just this idea that the show is about trying to find common ground and have healing in America. And she admits it's excellent at that. And excellent in its own right, and funny, but she will not support it because of the person who created it. Like, fuck me. Like, is there anything we can do now? Or are we just stuck like this forever? Is this it? Is this where we are? And it turns out that's where we are. Nonsense. Right. So, let's wrap up. Or start winding down, I should say. Guns.
Bring them.
Guns. So there's been a lot going on recently in regards to the Second Amendment in America, because off the back of the last school shooting, which we talked about in our episode entitled Florida, there was this thing called March for Our Lives, which is where a group of activists, which includes a lot of the survivors from that shooting, have decided they want to force the agenda to have a debate about guns. Now, definitely all for that. We said on the show, for those who missed it, that our stance is, my stance is, while I support the Second Amendment, I think that you should have some amendments within that amendment to have some more intelligent applications of who can and can't have a gun. You know, we've talked about, obviously, mental illness is an issue, but on top of that, you know, it's age, and therefore tied into that emotional maturity. We could definitely do better things in America in terms of who can have what kind of guns. I mean, you see these absurd video clips of like 13-year-olds going into fucking Walmart and just buying a fucking rifle and going home with it, and it's like, well, yeah, I don't know how I feel about that, actually. I definitely think you can have more stringent checks, and I definitely think you can raise the age to 21 for me, and I think we're all good. I think we're all good. I think that's that. I think that's all you really need, and you will definitely see a decrease in school shootings. And equally as well, I'm very saddened that the discussion was never about the multiple systematic failings that occurred to enable that shooting, which of course included nobody listening to him expressly saying he was going to shoot up his school, nobody responding to YouTube comments that he made despite FBI reports being made, armed police. Now, the final report's been collated. Four armed people failed to respond to an active school shooting, whose jobs that it was to do that. Incredible. So, absolutely, there's lots to talk about on this issue. But I don't know if you've been following it, this March for Lives. It's been insufferable. It has been just so fucking insufferable. And I think there's something kind of perverse, but like it doesn't sit right with me that these like teenagers who survived a shooting have been propelled sort of into mini celebrities. And I hate the way that, you know, if it was me and like my friends and colleagues had been murdered, I don't know if I would be sort of, you know, it's great to have the spotlight on your cause, but when it transitions over into almost being like celebrity, it kind of feels a bit gross to me, like, honestly. So I don't know if you've been doing it, been following it, but like just stuff like this. They had these speeches, and the main guy is this kid called David Hogg, right? And he says that if you're, you know, if you're a Second Amendment absolutist and that's your philosophy, if you're a constitutionalist, effectively, there's blood on your hands. And while he was doing this talk about it and how he was going to change everything, he did this thing, and it just, oh, it's just pathetic. Like, please stop. Please look at that picture, mate. He's doing a fucking fist salute. What's he doing? And I watched him do it, and it wasn't even like a dignified power salute. It was almost like watching Jarvis Cocker do a dance move. You know, he's gone like that, and it's like, fucking hell. You're just enjoying this just a little too bit. A bit too much for me, mate. I think there's something wrong with this. But they've been talking endlessly. He's been on fucking talk shows nonstop, jabbering on about how everyone who thinks it's okay to have gun ownership in America, which again, you know, I've said it, I'm on board with the Second Amendment. Sorry, you're a gun nut. You're a fucking, you know, blood on your hands. Again, like I've just been talking about, there hasn't been a lot of sensible fucking discourse. And it just makes me fucking depressed, like watching this pan the fuck out. So what's really upset me is the idea that you cannot say, I don't like these activists, what they're saying or how they're behaving. So there was one who did a speech, and this is like way to make your cause fucking stand out. They first talked about how, because Donald Trump signed off on some changes, he did make some alterations. The bump stock thing, which has been a hot button topic among, you know, gun activists, Donald Trump did ban bump stocks, which was obviously one of the things that we wanted after the Vegas shooting. But then another one of the activists, and again, the way that these people are sort of coming out and the way they're presented, it's like I'm watching some sort of teenage music celebrity like do a concert. Like, again, is this politics now? Like, is this politics now? I'm all for these kids getting involved in politics and being activists and trying to change the world. I think that's fucking great. But just the way all this is done, with the shrieking and the cheering and, yeah, woo, woo, holding up signs, just millions of signs about Harry Potter for some reason. Like, what the fuck? No! This is a sensible debate about the American Constitution! But this is Delaney Tarr. She said, as soon as we get that bump stock ban, when they give us that inch, that bump stock ban, we will take a mile, meaning we will remove the Second Amendment. Well, no, that's why does it have to go? Why does it have to? Why isn't it enough that we just keep it, but we just make some sensible alterations within that framework? You know, brush up the language a little bit, maybe, so it's clearer. Why does it have to be insidiously? We will get that inch, and then we will take it all from you. Why does it have to be that? Why can't it just be? There's some good points to the Second Amendment, fundamentally, to protect yourself from a tyrannical regime. Trust me, victims of tyrannical regimes all around the world probably wish they had access to fucking firearms so they could have stopped, well, maybe not stopped it happening, but at least had a fighting chance when it fucking did. But no, not interested in, you know, there's no nuance, no discussion. We want to take it all. And of course, the media went on a big offensive. They are literally saying... out there, oh, it's not about the Second Amendment. We don't want to take your guns. And if you're afraid of us taking your guns, you are a gun nut. That is what they're saying. You're being paranoid. Yet it's language like this where it's like, yes, they actually do want to take your guns. Like, they do. And this is a problem, because then now people are going to dig in, and you're actually you're engaged in a counterproductive element to your movement now. Because when you say shit like that, people are going to be like, see, I knew it. We cannot have any sensible revisions or applications. We can't do it. And just look at this, Sam. It's been a bombardment, right? Let's repeal the Second Amendment. That actually trended on Twitter, repeal the Second Amendment. I think Rolling Stone did one. Rolling Stone had this. Why it's time to repeal the Second Amendment. Of course, crazy Kurt Eichenwald took 5 minutes from beating off to fucking tentacle porn and faking seizures on the internet to write, let's repeal the Second Amendment. He'll just do anything to just sort of keep his fucking star rising. And then the New York Times did an op-ed on it again. Let's repeal the Second Amendment. Let's not repeal the Second Amendment. There is a middle fucking ground, guys. It's this, we want it all on both sides. We want it all our way, all of the time. Yeah, that's not how politics works. Politics is a series of, albeit clumsy, concessions where we find a common ground everyone can live with, and then we move on to the next problem and we solve it. So anyway, apart from the fact that the movement is a complete fucking sham and they're trying to cloak what their true intentions are with fucking, you know, this idea that they're not really trying to take their guns. In fact, Vox actually said it wasn't about taking away guns. Everyone else is saying, let's repeal the Second Amendment. So it's definitely about taking guns away. No Second Amendment, no gun ownership. But the other thing I noticed was, you're not allowed to mock these people in any way. Like, you're not allowed to say, like, listen, I'll be clear what I think about it. I think these people have gone through a horrible fucking thing to live through. It's like, I can't even imagine it. I can't even imagine being in that situation. I can literally not imagine being in a building and a dude walks in and starts fucking murdering everyone, and I've just got to fucking hide or get out. You know, the people he's killing are people I know, like potentially close friends. Like, I can't even imagine the horror of that. But just because you've gone through a traumatic experience, doesn't make you an expert on how to fix that trauma, right? If that was true, and I've literally seen it argued on leftist media sites, and indeed David Hogg said it himself. He said, we are the experts on guns now. Like, you know, like, I'm the captain now. Like, we're the experts on guns now. That's like saying if I survived a plane crash, I should
That's
be the
exactly
pilot.
What I was going to say.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Do I get to fly the plane? Because I lived through a plane crash? Is that really the standard? Because I don't think that should be the standard. So I definitely want to listen to what they have to say for fucking sure. But I think actually the trauma might be making you not think objectively about this. You might be divorcing yourself from the reasons the Second Amendment is meant to be there. I think maybe it's making you a bit vitriolic. You know, like he was attacking Rubio and saying there's blood on his hands because he'd accepted the National Rifle Association money. Again, this isn't how you're going to get things done. So anyway, it was announced that David Hogg didn't get into college. Well, he was getting rejected by colleges. He had a 4-point whatever the fuck grade average. We don't do GPAs in the UK. I still don't know how the fuck that works. But he's got a 4.1 GPA, right? Which is still pretty good. I think it's out of 5. But Laura Ingraham, who works over at Fox News, did a tweet where she mocked him for not getting into college. And I was like, fucking hell, this must be... Because everybody was going bananas about that. Like, oh my God, Laura Ingraham's a bully. How dare she mock him for not getting into college? Well, okay. First of all, if you put yourself in the public domain, which he's done by saying he's an activist, he seems very comfortable with the spotlight, by the way. He's been on CNN fucking 5,000 times. He's doing these huge talks in front of thousands of people, doing fucking this. I think he's comfortable in the spotlight, right? So if you present yourself as a public person and become a public person through your works and deeds and all of that stuff, well, mockery and criticism is now invited with that, okay? You don't get to have it both ways. If you want to be protected from other public personas mocking you as a public persona, you remain a private persona. They're the rules, unfortunately, you know? I get wrecked all the time. I have to accept now I'm a public person, right? But look at this. This was the tweet that caused this furor I'm about to lay out for you. It's mad. I can't believe people got this upset about this. She said, David Hogg rejected by 4 colleges to which he applied and whines about it. He was dinged by UCLA with a 4.1 GPA. Totally predictable given acceptance rates. And then you can see from the replies immediately, he's 17 and you're a grown woman picking on a child. What? Hang on. Motherfucker's about to go to college. Maybe we do things differently in the UK, but fucking hell. 17? I don't feel. You know, child? A bit much. Bit of a stretch for me. And everyone went mental about this. And then David Hogg, you know, instead of like, could have just, I suppose, took the tweet and said, you know, could have used it to make a clever political point about the right. And trying to discredit my movement by mocking me, you know, failing to get into these colleges. Instead of doing that, what he actually did was fucking just immediately went for the boycott path. Like, look at this. That was literally his reply to this. He said, pick a number 1 to 12. Contact the company next to that number. These are Laura Ingraham's advertisers. Like, just boom. There is literally nothing in between this exchange.
What? And Hulu said, yeah, we're out. Hulu said, we can confirm we are no longer advertising the Laura Ingraham show.
Straight out. Straight out. Now, again, do you think that's proportionate to what she said? Because I think this fucking Patrick Bateman looking Valley of the Dolls, motherfucker. Do you know what I mean? Like, do we need to delete this? Can I not say? I think he's been a little bit cringeworthy in some of the shit he's done and said. Like, I get it. He's gone through a fucking tragedy. It fucking really, really sucks. And he's trying to make the world a better place. But he's also really teed off on people. Like, he's said politicians have blood on their hands and support the murdering of kids, when obviously nobody wakes up and goes, let's check the papers. Any kids been murdered today? Fucking get in, loads of them. No one's ever done that. Like, no one's ever done that. You know, it's crazy. And again, I mean, first of all, as well, the irony of, like, a woke person calling for the boycott boycott Nestle because a woman said a mean tweet about me. Not boycott Nestle because of all the heinous shit they do all around the fucking world. Don't boycott Nestle because Peter Brabeck Letmuth, or whatever his fucking name was, their CEO, said that considering water a public right was extreme. Yeah, don't boycott for that, woke friends. Boycott because my Fifi's got hurt. Like, come on, like, where's the standard at for, you know? So that was absurd. So I was like, fuck me, there's no way people are going to get on board with that. And as you said, advertisers started pulling out. Fox News had to send Laura Ingraham on holiday because of the backlash.
I know.
But not before she actually apologized. Right? So I was like, I don't think you should bend the knee in that situation. I think 17 or not, you've set yourself up as a public figure. And the fact that you've been rejected by a few colleges and you're upset by it, and that was the original story in TMZ, you're probably, like, people are going to mock you a little bit for that. You're like a public figure. It's just how it is. It's just how it goes. But she issued an apology, right? So, again, I don't know much about Laura Ingraham. She might be a fucking prize bitch for all I know. Like, I don't watch her shows, right? But she did put an apology out, and I'll read it to you. Any student should be proud of a 4.2 GPA. So on reflection, in the spirit of Holy Week, I apologize for any upset or hurt my tweet caused David Hogg or any of the brave victims of Parkland. For the record, I believe my show was the first to feature David immediately after the horrific shooting. I haven't had time to look into that. I'll take her at her word. And I even noticed how poised he was given the tragedy. As always, he's welcome to return to the show anytime for a productive discussion. That's the end of it, right? Like, come on. Just leave it there. No. You cannot leave it there. Right? This isn't how it works. This isn't how the news cycle works anymore. It's all-out war. This is the theme of the show, really. You thought it was Easter fucking Monday. It's all-out war. We're all-out war with each other. We hate each other. The left and the right, we all hate each other. Let's fight to the death. Look. David Hogg rejects Laura Ingraham's apology. A bully is a bully. You were saying fucking Mark Rubio has blood on his hands and fucking supports the murder of kids. What are you doing with your platform, my friend? Like, it's like to lack that fucking self-awareness. So, yeah. Refused to accept the apology and straight putting it, you know, continuing to put it on. I just don't get it. Like, I just, you know, all the advertisers now, you just got to go after it. You can't just let her say that. She has to lose everything. She must lose her job. And in fact, the network that fucking puts her on air has to lose all their financial support. And then it goes the other way. It goes the other way. Kurt Eichenwald. Let me find you this. Because, again, he's just crazy now. He attacked a survivor of the shooting because he had a disagreement with him on Twitter. Kyle Kashov, right? And needless to say, because it came in the aftermath of this David Hogg thing, they went after his. They started tweeting and saying, now you've got to go after Kurt Eichenwald's advertisers and by extension, MSNBC. So here it is. The Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro. But keep in mind, this is what I mean about the right and the left just being as bad as each other right now. Right? Every time the right does what the left do, the right go, but we're playing by your rules. And yeah, there is a certain type of sweet satisfaction to that, right? But if you keep doing it, you're just the same, aren't you? If you keep doing it, you're just the same as them. You just differ in one or two ways. You're still a bunch of fucking authoritarian, dictatorial babies. So here it is. Kurt Eichenwald got in an argument with Kyle Kashuv. And there you go. Immediately, Ben Shapiro tweeted out a list of advertisers to go after them. And fucking, yeah, people did start fucking pulling out as well. Proactive were one of the companies. And then Kurt Eichenwald had to issue an apology. It's like, where does this fucking end? All Kurt Eichenwald had said to him was this: Kyle, you continue to disappoint me. Trafficking in fantasy is fine. Your followers are infantile. Your only form of debate is insult. And you wonder why I have no respect for you. Does Eichenwald have to respect this guy? I can't believe I'm trying to defend Kurt Eichenwald. Sam, get me out. The simulation's broken. Turn off the machine. Turn off the machine. Turn it off. It's fucked up. It's broke. You can't, the right can't just keep saying we're playing by the left's rules, and the left needs to change their fucking rules. Because this is just getting stupid. It's just beyond a fucking joke now. So what do you think happens next, Sam? Because we always know this, right? We always know the way it goes. You remember with that kid that got bullied, and then the mother put the video up with a kid and in the car, and then everybody on the internet had a big discussion about it. Some people said, it's Trump's America. When you've got a bully in the White House, people get bullied at school. And then other people were like saying, yeah, but he's white, isn't he? So he doesn't really know what bullying is. White people can never be victims. And then blah, 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 blah. Just the same shit over and over again. Whatever the fuck I want to talk about, we'll make it about that thing, and we'll use that thing to talk about my thing. And then what did they do? They found out the kid's mother and father were fucking assholes and racists, and there was a Confederate flag on their house, and then they doxed them, and then they said it was all a scam, and then celebrities came out and said the mother was just doing it for money, and then it turned out that the account that was asking for money wasn't even the mother's. It was a fucking mess. Like, people just cannot leave it. So needless to say, boom, they found David Hogg's fucking Reddit account. This is what the right wingers are going to do now, to try and discredit him and bully him and make him look like a fucking asshole. And it's pretty fucking cringe, by the way. But of course it's cringe. He's 17. The only thing you're a specialist in at 17, it ain't fucking gun laws. It's being cringeworthy. It's just how it is. So people found all these like mad posts, mate. And now InfoWars are reporting on his account. And people are talking. The Daily Wire is reporting about his Reddit account. And people are saying, oh, you know. And there's not really anything there, right? It's just sort of amusing. Like, he says how he, like, what are some personal experiences you consider to be really funny? Getting rejected all the time and laughing it off. Like, he's a bit of an incel, you know, like. He just struggles with it. You know, things like this. He responded in a Reddit thread. What activity are you so bad at that you don't even attempt it anymore? Asking girls out. You know, it's like, and everyone was like, look at the loser, look at the loser. Let's make the kid who's trying to be a political activist to make the world a better place. Let's laugh at him and call him a loser. Ha ha. Like, it's just gone too far now, hasn't it? Saying he's whining about getting into college, like not getting into college is one thing. We've just dredged up your Reddit account. Now we're going to go through every post you've made because you are now fucking fair game, motherfucker. It's just so vitriolic and like over the top. But here was the part where they really decided to go to town. It's this.
Your webcam's out of freeze, bud.
We'll just pretend that didn't happen and we'll edit it.
Yeah. Oh,
no problem. So again, I understand, like, this comes with a territory as soon as you become a public figure, but it's just like it's so fucking mean-spirited, and then they always find that one thing, what they think is the little gotcha. Hey, we've got you now. We've got you now. Right? So think about what David Hogg is rallying against, right? Like, he's rallying against guns, and he's saying life is precious and kids shouldn't get killed and we need to change it and we need to have less guns so people, you know, don't get killed and blah, blah, blah. So somebody found in Ask Reddit, where he was a frequent poster to, what is a positive reason for mosquitoes to exist? Okay. And he answered going, they kill humans, billions of them, which is great for the environment, which is just a stupid, really edgy thing to say. Yeah. Malaria is fucking horrible and it's completely stupid. But obviously, it's a private Reddit account and he's just trying to make a joke, probably. That's it now. So now all the right wing are trying to push this as, you know, gun activist who says he doesn't want kids to die actually welcomes the death of billions. Well, you know what else kills humans? Guns. And you're trying to ban them, but you say mosquitoes are good. You're a hypocrite. Like, fuck me, guys. This cannot be it. This cannot be it, dude. This cannot be it, right? Do you know what I mean? This is politics, my friends. This is where we're at right now. So they think that's the gotcha. They're going to use this. Oh, fuck, man. It's just ridiculous, isn't it? How it just always spirals out. There can never be any dis-fucking agreements. We can never just agree to disagree and get along. Always comes this. Don't know where it's going to go next, mate. Don't know what the next phase is. Start interviewing women that David Hogg's fucking slept with or something. Like, where does it go next? Like, I don't know. You know? Girls he's been on dates with. Fucking, it's bonkers. Right, let's end on something nice.
I'll read.
Do you think we should end on something nice?
Why not?
Yeah, let me see. I did have, well, this isn't nice, but it follows on, right? This was ridiculous. While we're talking about solutions to school shootings, by the way, can we just not make it this as an idea? This was the story reported in BuzzFeed and it blew up in the mainstream media. I know, mad, didn't it? You saw the title straight away. This was the plan to stop an active school shooter by putting 5-gallon buckets of rocks into the classroom so kids could throw rocks at the shooter and that would stop the shooting. Somehow. I'll read you what the superintendent of the school that proposed this at the House Education Committee said. If an armed intruder attempts to gain entrance to any of our classrooms, they will face a classroom full of students armed with rocks, and they will be stoned. I don't
Most
think
of the kids will be, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he meant to say it like that. We have some people who are pretty good arms.
You've got a good set of arms, a new boy. You'll be the main rock thrower. I won't even take point if someone ever comes in here.
They can chuck some rocks pretty fast.
Why is this guy suddenly he's got like 40 IQ?
I don't know, mate. I don't know.
I know people who can throw rocks fast.
If you have a 5-gallon bucket full of river stones and we have 25 students and a teacher, it will serve as a deterrent, he went on. If it hits the top of the shooter, it would not only injure them, but possibly kill the intruder. Under the given circumstances, is it a better response than passively crawling under a desk and allowing someone to break in the classroom?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. If I was in a school, I'd rather have a bucket of rocks than not have a bucket of rocks. You know what I mean? It ain't ideal, but it might do something.
I mean, okay. I just wanted to say that, you know, the answer isn't rocks. Can I? I want to go on the record that the answer isn't rocks. All right.
But it ain't a bad show.
It ain't a fan show, mate. I'm behind the idea, mate. You sold me on it. Let's get some fucking rock. What are we going to lose? The only thing I did think of is, oh, someone's just going to get angry when they're in a fight in the schoolroom. Someone's just going to get smashed over the head with a rock, and it's never going to be used. And then they're going to have to remove the rocks, and it's all over.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm still on the rocks, Anthony, answer side of the fence, I think, here, mate.
Mate, tell me now, right? If someone comes in and the first thing they get it with is a rock to the side of the head, you got pretty good odds, mate. He ain't far off.
All right, then, I'll tell you what, yeah.
I'm not saying we should only have rocks. I'm not saying the only change
you
should make. Me, you
will go outside, right? I'll have the gun.
Yeah, but you don't get to know where I am. You have to go, right, then, but we have to be in an hospital. We'll do it with a paintball gun. I'll just smash you over the head with a rock.
No, then you've got to use a paint instead of, like, a water bomb.
Yeah,
a
tennis ball or something.
Rock, like,
yeah,
while I'm
walking. Tennis ball to the side of the head.
Yeah, all right, yeah, yeah, okay, good.
I reckon I'd ruin you, mate. Because, mate, imagine if we were in, like, an hospital, like an abandoned hospital, but and there's so many cupboards and shit, you wouldn't know where I'd be above the door Metal Gear Solid on your bitch ass, mate. Dropping bricks from above. Splinter cell crawling around the ceilings.
Maybe then.
That's only because I know you're coming, to be fair. Like, I don't see me, like, as soon as somebody comes in, get to the rocks.
Yeah, I won't tell you what day it is. Ooh. Now it gets harder.
No, I'm just on
it?
Edge for days.
Exactly.
With a tennis ball in my hand.
You got to think about it.
Metal Gear Sam, man.
I'd play that, mate. I'd definitely play that. I did miss out one thing when I was talking about the whole Parkland shooter survivors stuff, and it is worth just adding to it, and it's sort of funny in a way, I guess. So as a result of this campaign to make schools safer, which is ostensibly the plan, it's not just an anti, you know, that's how it started. It became an anti Second Amendment thing. By extension, right? But they ended up having to have clear backpacks.
Yeah, I saw that.
In the school. And David Hogg came out and spoke out about that and said that it violates their First Amendment rights because it violates their privacy, the First Amendment,
yeah.
Right? Obviously, it's about, you know, freedom of speech and everything and that stuff. So, you know, again... it's mean, but it's like, why is one part of the Constitution a piece that you want absolutely enshrined and protected, but another part isn't, and it must be absolutely fucking changed? You know, you, the whole point of the Constitution is you
don't... Gander.
Yeah, exactly. You don't get to just pick or choose. But like, they all hate these. Like, we want the government to make the school safer. All right, here's some clear backpacks. Now we can see all the shit.
A bag of rocks.
Yeah. And some rocks, and it's like they've gone, no, we didn't want you to interfere in this way. Well, look, you gotta, you know, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes, I guess. So fuck it. Like, I don't know. Let's, it kind of got funny at the end, so I'll just leave it there. No point in pulling up another story. Save it for another show, right? It's been a roller coaster, this one, Sam, hasn't it?
It's been, I don't know.
It's been a roller
coaster. It's been mostly a sad descent into what humanity is.
Yes, exactly. I told you, when I write the show, Sam, people don't realize this. When I actually write the show, there's always a consistent theme. They're always thematic. So that's what this one is. And yeah, you see people in the chat saying it's literally the best podcast on the internet. I agree.
And me.
Yeah.
Give me a grand.
Yeah. So people don't realize. People think I just turn up and it's like, because oh, he's gone off on a tangent. It's not structured. There's a lot of structure going on. It actually takes a lot of work to make it look this unstructured. That's how good we are, mate.
Yeah, have we ever had a script? And the one time we had kind of a script is when we recorded the trash run-ins thing. And then got Richard, you dead man. No, man. Let's do a show. That was it. That's the only script we've ever had.
We did do that, didn't we? So, anyway, I think we'll wrap up the show there. I got a ton of stuff to do. And obviously, you know, we got to make sure that everyone preserves their sanity. So that was the Richard Lewis show, talking about how we all need to be better to each other and try and find bridges for our political differences and to stop being unreasonable when we don't get our own way. The world is full of diverse people, right? With different opinions, right down to tiny little things to super important things that define who they are. All still people at the end of the day, and we can work harder and meet in the middle. That's just a fact. So thank you all for watching, to all the people who subscribed, donated, bought merch, all of that good stuff. We really, really appreciate it. I don't know when the next episode will be back, because as I said, there's a lot going on right now. You'll hear more about that later. But when we do, you will know about it. Stay tuned to Twitter. Make sure you follow the channel. And yeah, take care of yourselves and take care of others. Be good to each other, as Jerry Springer would say. And I will see you on the next episode of The Richard Lewis Show. Peace out.